Hey Hooters. It's good five. I've been going there since I can drive. Hey Hooters. Hey Hooters.
Two hosts and an enforcer. It's Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. It is 2 p.m. on Tuesday, June 30th, and Jaylen Brown, still a member of your Boston Celtics, because apparently the price of pennies on the dollar is just too damn high.
More like Bad Stevens, am I right?
It was so bad, it was great. I actually really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Oh, man. So what a day we have. Free agency starts at 6 o'clock. The Celtics are trying to get this guy off the team. And maybe, just maybe, news will break and we'll find out we've got a couple guys that we all have to Google and a few picks that don't even matter in the next few drafts, because the next few drafts suck.
The Brooklyn Nets have entered the chat, by the way.
Okay.
I mean, that's the latest one I have seen.
Woo!
And man, what do they have for
that's
us?
That's been historically good, though. You know, trading with Brooklyn has generally gone the right way.
That's a fair
point. I don't have no idea what they're
bringing.
No idea, Ted, what they're sending back, but let's hope.
Yeah, we shall see. Well, it is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson here on 93.7 WEEI. We will take your calls, 617-779-7937. As I said, we are a caller-intensive show. We love when the callers call in, because we don't really do a lot of social media stuff during the show. And you can also go to the Odyssey app, listen to the show on there, take us everywhere you go, and launch a take grenade. That's press that little microphone button, leave us a message, and we play it back at 5 o'clock. We're going to get into it later, but I have absolutely fallen in love with the World Cup. Yesterday, I had this big rant about how every time I watch a game, it's boring. Knockout round's totally different. Oh. We are in a whole new world, baby.
Are you up late watching PKs?
I was not up late. All I had to see was the one here in Boston, was the Germany match, and I'm hooked.
Germany got hosed.
Apparently, handball, right?
Yeah.
Non-called handball?
Yeah.
I don't understand what happened.
Was it, was it goalie interference, or am I getting that?
Offside? I'm not sure what it was.
So somebody said, I read about it, because I missed when they got hosed, but I saw the penalty kicks, which is legit one of the greatest things you can watch in sports.
I think it's the most exciting thing in sports, is when they're tied, they go to overtime, they still are tied, and they have to go to PKs. To me, the drama in those PKs is as good as anything you'll find anywhere.
I actually wrote this down, Ted. I wrote this down. I made sure I put it here. When I saw that, I wrote down, there might not be anything better in sports than a World Cup penalty kick shootout.
Yeah.
It's legit the best thing, and I don't care. I don't give a rat's ass about any of these teams. Nothing invested. But my God, that was awesome.
But the problem is, last night, so I'm watching the late night game, and I had no idea they tack on 30 more minutes after the 90 to get the penalty kicks.
Oh, yeah. It's
and
a
it's,
long
it's
way
a
to get
worthless
there.
30. They just do nothing and try to get the penalty kicks.
I agree. But this is the way it's been for a long time. To me, you just go right to penalty kicks.
Right.
I mean, but they play these long overtimes, man. It's usually it's soupy out there. They have nothing in their legs. It usually, you know, if you're going to get to that point as a 90 minutes and still have a tie, I think 30 minutes is like a waste of time, because they're just gassed.
Yep.
So might as well go to the PKs.
Right.
But it just leads up to a dramatic kind of event that is unlike anything. If some people think it's gimmicky, the PKs, you got to figure out a way to end the game.
Oh,
don't
hell
you?
Yeah.
I think that's I don't think it's that gimmicky when you've already tacked on 30 minutes to the 90 minutes you just played.
There was a lot of sad Germans walking around Boston last night. Yeah. Very, very sad Germans.
it's one of those games that Germany, they possess the ball almost 80% of the time, which is that they're known for that, and they still lose, which it's like a team that, you know, you on paper, we looked like we should have won the game, but we fumbled five times, and that's how they won. That's what Germany's got to feel like, is on paper, they destroyed Paraguay. But Paraguay, at the end of the day, beats them.
Well, in fact, Chad Finn went into the metrics. He went into the analytics today. I wrote this down. I thought it was impressive. They outshot Paraguay 21-7. 6-3 on shots on goal. 41 touches in the box to 13 for Paraguay. And completed passes in favor of Germany, 233-44. I had no idea there were even stats people followed.
To me, just start the game with the penalty kicks. If that's the entire game, it is literally the most... It might be the best thing in the world of sports is a World Cup penalty kick shootout. Just give it to me. Put it in my veins. I couldn't have been any more wrong yesterday when I said everything about the World Cup except the matches themselves have been great, but the matches have been boring. Now it's totally changed. Once you have to get a winner and there's no draws, I love it.
I agree.
And Shine from the Morning Show, from the Greg Hill Show, went to the match. He said it was easy to get in. I walked after the Red Sox game past Timeout Market. There was an outdoor viewing party. It was like everything has gone pretty well, except for maybe the first Scotland match when people couldn't get there. It took 6 hours on the train or whatever. But it has largely been a success, right? Like a massive success.
Isn't that surprising? I feel like it is a little bit, but I just thought it was going to be a train wreck.
Yeah.
You know, FIFA, it didn't feel like they were really on the ball with a lot of stuff. And, you know, I was worried about that. The field was going to be an issue. The first match, Scotland, it's kind of a mess getting down there.
Yeah.
And man, they figured it out, man, and they turned it around, and they got it all buttoned up, man, more than I thought they would.
It's so alien. Have you noticed there was a picture that went viral, you know, in the stadium, like when you're at Gillette Stadium, when it's Gillette Stadium, each chair on it has the Gillette Stadium logo and it says Gillette on it. Somebody had to go through and take little pieces of tape that are maybe like an inch by a half inch and stick it over the word Gillette on every single one of those seats.
Every chair has Gillette on it. You're right.
And they had somebody went through because they weren't a sponsor and put tape on every single seat. I mean, it is really so strange. I almost said so foreign. It's legitimately foreign. You're literally foreign. But it's the whole thing is so weird, but it's turned out to be unbelievable.
My buddy said, thanks for the overtime.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. You got your one of your friends was one of the people who had to get rid of every single sponsorship name down there.
Speaking of strange, Twitch is reacting to your white shirt today. First sign of summer. Rich is not black today.
How about
white
that?
White shirt.
But what? The hat, though, is tight, man. I like that hat.
Sure.
Baby.
It pops. Woo! With the white shirt, it pops.
That's
there we go.
Pandering to the Buffalo
fans. I'm going to look like a Colorado University NASCAR driver. I've got so much merch now. All right. Well, let's talk about something else. Yeah, pretty awesome it happened last night. Shall we, Stiz? What happened yesterday?
What just happened?
Sports happened.
Oh, yes. It was a feel-good day in the world of sportsin', baby. The Red Sox have won 5 in a row at Fenway. What the hell planet are we on, Stiz?
The pitch is swung on and driven high and deep into left field. Way back, Wilson! On to Lansdowne for Venezuela. A 3-run bomb. And the Red Sox lead it 3-1.
Clean up on aisle Will Fleming.
Will Cato.
Attaboy. Way to go, Will.
That was awesome. Well, Sports Happen is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-777. By the way, Chad Tracy will be joining us here in just about 15 minutes. It was the Wilson Contreras show last night, good and bad, as the Sox win their season-high 5th consecutive game, beating the Nationals, what the hell, 6-3? Can you believe it? That 3-run blast right there at the bottom of the first set the tone for what really should have been a huge night for Contreras. But my man didn't see anything past the second inning because the umpires are nerds.
Sincerity and emotion. I don't know. Wilson, as he's walking to the first base dugout, is tapping his helmet as if he'd like to challenge, and somebody just got thrown out. Was it Contreras?
Yeah.
No way. If Nick Lentz just did that, get the heck out of town. You got to be kidding me. On this night of all nights, with what he knows is going on, you've got to be kidding me. That is the least lack of feel I've ever seen from an umpire. Are you kidding me?
He's right, man.
Great job by Fleming to have Nick Lentz, the name, at the tip of his tongue, the first base umpire.
That's impressive.
Like, yeah. So Lentz afterwards, I want to get his exact quote, but you know, he was asked by, you know, they did the press pool thing, and he was asked, he was asked whether or not it was ejectable when somebody taps their helmet, like whether that's a rule when you try to challenge something that is not a challengeable call. And they said that, yes, indeed it is. But also, because tapping the helmet for a non-challenge is an automatic ejection. But he also said that there is discretion within the call. So, no, it's not an automatic ejection.
I can't imagine it being one.
If you have discretion, then why have the rule in there? And that was just a guy who was butthurt and being shown up. And I thought it was funny because it wasn't immediately afterwards, too. There was maybe like 5 seconds of him walking before he even did that. So, like, Lenz had to be, I know his name now, too. Mm-hmm. He had to be staring him down as he was walking towards the dugout.
I mean, he did show him up. But I mean, you have to admit, he was pissed at the check swing call. And it was done to show up the ump by the technically.
Correct.
Well,
that's
correct. Just to be not a homer.
I kind of go both ways on this, and it's probably not the ideal, but because I'm old school, I follow the rules. You have rules. Be respectful to the refs. But the ref did, and it's interesting. He did. I think he just kind of. I don't think he. So you're saying that he did the tapping in the head, and it took him 5 seconds before he threw him out, or
he waited 5 seconds before he tapped his helmet, and as soon as he did it, they kicked him out.
I think it's just if he had a second, if he waited just a beat to make that decision, he might not have done it.
Yeah,
but he saw it, and it happened, and it just kind of happened. But I can see it, but it's interesting because Contreras said he talked to the ump before the game about what was going on in his home, country of Venezuela, and that there was, they had a nice conversation about it, yet still the ump threw him out.
It was a dick move. And when we have Chad Tracy on, I do want to ask whether or not they've all been informed that tapping your helmet when you know that you can't challenge, when you're out of challenges, or when you aren't specifically going to challenge, you just kind of do it mockingly, whether that's an instant ejection, according to what the umpire Lenz said afterwards.
Dude, I could kind of see it being a something that, I don't know about ejectable, but some kind of penalty.
It's like calling a timeout when you don't have a timeout.
There you go, Rich. You just took it right out of my head. We used to call timeouts when we didn't have them, and there was no rule in place for that.
Yeah.
And we would get away with it until they smartened up. And we would do it just to mess up the refs and the other team. They had to implement a rule because for not calling timeout, when you know you don't have timeout and you call one, it's a penalty on your team. That's exactly what I thought of. So I could see them maybe going that direction. If it's not in the letter, it's not in the rule books now, I bet you it will be eventually.
Is it fair to say that as tragic as this earthquake has been in Venezuela, which is like 1,700 people have died already, shocking. Is it fair to say this has been a galvanizing thing for the Red Sox, who have five players on the team from Venezuela?
I'll tell you what it did do is that I thought it was awesome. I don't know if you saw the videos, but before the games, they were out like the players were actually out on in front of the stadium collecting, like in buckets.
That's right.
Like
just with their wives.
With their wives.
Yep.
And I thought that and you know what? Sometimes, tragedy can unify a team. We saw it in 2013 with the marathon bombing. Yep. This is our effing city. And then they went on that tear after that. Yeah, that it can unify a team. And Will Fleming's exactly right. It's like, dude, you knew what he was been going through. Mm-hmm. You saw him crying in the dugout after he hit that 3-run home run. I mean, it was a massive emotional day for him. And to do that was just like, you couldn't have come across as more of a dick than he did yesterday.
I bet you all the umps are on guard for Contreras just because he's been such a hothead and has almost started fights in multiple games.
There's
and
no question.
They must be watching him like a hawk.
Oh, yeah, they scout these guys before they have to call their games. I thought maybe in the pool report he would regret it a little bit and just have a little bit of, I maybe overreacted, but he didn't, which I wish he would have. But he did overreact. But I also see his point of view, too.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, we're going to have, as I said, Chad Tracy, our interim manager. Do we still have to call him interim?
No.
Okay.
I've stripped it away. He's
okay.
Five-game win streak, you get the full tag.
I love it. He has earned it after that. So the manager of your Boston Red Sox will be joining us in about 15 minutes. And quick two-minute break, a little hydration break. And when we get back, we'll give you the latest on Jaylen Brown and everything else crazy that's going in the NBA right now, including the oldest super team in the history of basketball assembling over there in Golden State.
I can't find a team right now that is willing at this moment to give up that amount of draft capital. So then it just becomes, are Brad Stevens and that front office fine trading away Jaylen Brown for potentially less than that. Potentially, I had one GM said 40 cents on the dollar. Because that's what it's come down to in Boston. They just have not been able to find teams as of yet.
Oh, man. That's just humiliating. I don't... We'll get into it. It's Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson on 93.7 WEEI. That is Shams Charania. And this whole Jaylen Brown thing has just blown up in the faces of the Boston Celtics.
Does this put a little bit of cold water on Jaylen Brown? Doesn't this cool him off a little bit? Isn't Jaylen Brown at home sitting there going, man, nobody wants me? I mean, you got teams that are going for LaMelo Ball over him. I mean, it's
fake ESPN news. ESPN's out to get him. Yeah, Shams is lying.
I agree, Ken.
I think, and that's just a defense. Do you really say this? Okay, but
yeah, I think this is, come on. This is Jaylen Brown. This is insane. I think like some agent or people in the media.
Huge conspiracy.
This is insane.
Do you know how many people are saying this? It's not just ESPN. It's all of the insiders. Like, I mean, everyone who's talking about Jaylen Brown is saying that not only are they not getting value for him, but the Celtics continue to call people. Yeah, if they're not taking calls, they're trying to get rid of
him. There's one on Stiz's side, one guy. Chris Mannix. It's the only
Mannix,
one.
Mannix
is robust.
He's been quiet, though, the last couple days.
You haven't heard much from Chris, have you?
No.
He was about the only one that was pushing the other way, saying that there was a robust market win.
And Russini. Russini said robust.
Oh, also. Diana? Yep, yep. Yeah. She's back on the game. Good. Good to see her back.
Yeah, right. She is back there. Well, so as we know, this whole thing is blown up. I mean, according to all the reports, and there's a really good article by Adam Himmelsbach in The Globe, where for really the first time, you are hearing somebody who is very connected. Himmelsbach is a great reporter, especially when it comes to the Celtics. And he said a league source said that Brown has grown frustrated with the organization's approach following a season in which he guided the Celtics to 56 wins while Jason Tatum was sidelined for months with an Achilles injury. Now, we could have all assumed that, especially after hearing Jaylen Brown's father yesterday. And as we were talking about, if a family member says it, usually means that's exactly what the player themselves is thinking.
Or Jaylen liking certain tweets on social media that indicate, you know, the Celtics ought to do right by him and send him to a good place. I mean,
was that real? Because I saw that and I had to just I didn't get to double check because according to the tweet that went viral, somebody commented under a Jaylen Brown post about how they've been shopping around. It was like, man, I hope Jaylen goes to an organization that actually appreciates his talents. And it says liked by Jaylen Brown.
Okay. All right, interesting. I'd be so fascinated to know what he said to him. As he said, I want to be traded. If he hasn't said that, did he say, look, if you are going to trade me, these are the teams I want to be traded to? I'd like to know how he's thinking when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, but right now it doesn't seem like he's able to call a shot on anything. Nobody wants him. And if they want him, they want him for pennies. And it's disturbing as a Celtics fan because, well, first of all, I think it's good news because I don't want him gone. At least I don't want him gone for anything less than a Giannis Antetokounmpo. If it was Giannis, you'd get it. But anything less, all the stuff I've heard being offered, you're like, it's not worth it.
Right.
And I do believe it is salvageable. I do. I think that right now tensions are hot. This happens whenever there's a trade deadline, whenever there's free agency, whenever this kind of stuff is in flux. I have a feeling that they'll calm down. Brad Stevens is a great GM. He'll be able to sit down, talk to him. It's going to be tough, but I think that once they start playing ball again, and if they can put some good parts around him to improve the team, then maybe, just maybe, all will be okay for at least one more season until we have to do this all over again next offseason.
The one thing that gave me pause about that is hearing Perk talk. Now, granted, it's Perk and it's ESPN, but he said there's no way you can bring Jaylen back into this locker room again with the way he's been acting. It would be a total disaster.
Perk talks in absolutes a lot now.
I don't know.
He does, and I like Perk a lot, but he's also become somebody who wants to get clipped and wants to go viral. And I think when you speak in absolutes like that, you know, you're not really being sincere.
I hear you.
Small tear in his interior crustaceous uterus.
My man from Big Money, Beaumont, Texas, man. I hear what you're saying, Rich. I do. And it feels like if there was ever an offseason to say it's not salvageable, it'd be this one, but just because of how far we've gotten into with all the news and the way Jaylen's acting. But I do think that there, to me, you can still get Jaylen back on board.
Yep,
I still think you can bring him in.
Yep.
I don't think it's not. Jaylen Brown has got to realize that his value is not high right now. And so he's got to crank it up and get himself to a place where, you know, people value him and see him differently. So he's got a lot of work to do. I will say this. There's a lot of people that are saying, hey, man, you know, all you got to do is give him an extension and he'll be happy. And it's like, No, dude. A lot of this is mostly money driven. There's a lot of teams that don't want Jaylen Brown because of the sticker price.
I think one of those teams that doesn't want him is because the sticker price is the Celtics.
Yeah,
I honestly think this is saying a lot about the new ownership. They're looking down the road. They see that $70 million a year coming after this contract is done with the extensions on the horizon, and they're like, enough. Because I don't think that with these two, it's enough. We're going to spend so much cash on these two players
70%.
Alone. 70% of the cash, geez, on two players.
Two players.
You sent something earlier that I want to get into about like the two like teams with like superstar duos. And it is interesting that we are learning right now, I believe, exactly what this new ownership is. They certainly aren't the Whit Grousbeck and his father ownership that sunk all that money into that championship team. I mean, that was amazing. Like they spend. Those days are over.
But one thing on that, the Grosbecks knew they were getting out when they won. In hindsight, they probably knew their time was coming to an end. Mm-hmm. Certainly Wick's father wanted out. Now, the new guy probably wants to stretch it out. He doesn't want to go 2-year window. He wants sustainability. So does it make sense that he's now saying, well, hold on here. If we can't get Giannis, let's get 4 first-round picks. I want to be the owner of a good team for the next 10 years.
No, Jason Tatum is in his prime. You can't waste this.
I'm just telling you, if you're an owner, don't you think that way? You don't want to go all in, splash. You want a slow build.
You know what? If you didn't have Tatum at the peak of his superpowers, I would say yes, absolutely. But and there's kind of some pieces here that are exciting that you could maybe start to build around to
right.
some degree.
They got Ugo, for God's sake.
Yeah, Ugo, yeah. But I think with the fly in the ointment is Jason Tatum. You cannot take that approach. The fan base won't accept it because you're wasting Jason Tatum's prime years.
But he might have 10 years left. I mean, if he's really an all-time
prime,
legend. Look at LeBron still playing. I mean.
Yeah. I think he's got maybe 5 years of still kind of prime basketball left in him. And then the next last 5 will be, it'll be a notch below what he is right now.
This is a bad introduction for a new owner to come in here and handle things this way and get rid of one of the guys that's your homegrown player, a guy that you drafted who won a championship for you 2 years ago, and you are doing everything you can to get rid of him. For what seems like they're trying to save money, it's not a good look. It's not a good look as your first major move as an owner.
Well, I'm going to hold off this Nets proposal because I don't want to make you mad right before Chad Tracy. So we'll get to that later.
Okay, all right. Because, yeah, it's a good day to have Chad Tracy on. It's like whenever we would have him in studio after a streak of crap. It's like, dude, I'm sorry, man, but here we go. But no, it's a 5-game winning streak and at Fenway of all things. Jeez, man.
The crazy thing is to me, this whole thing, is that it sounds like the way we're talking every day the last week and a half is that they're in big trouble.
Yeah.
The Celtics are the number one, when it comes to Vegas odds, the best odds to come out of the East right now. Right now.
Yeah.
Without doing anything.
Yep.
So it's kind of like, I think at the end of the day, they're going to just have to swallow hard and get together and be like, all right, well, this didn't turn out the way we wanted, but hey, we gotta love the ones we're with and try and figure this out.
I agree. And I think they can. I think it's something that can happen. I don't think like Kendrick Perkins, speaking out there, no way it's gonna be combustible. I don't believe that's the case. All right. We've got Chad Tracy, manager, no longer interim thanks to this 5-game winning streak, according to Ken.
Thank you.
We will have Chad Tracy on with us right after this. I love hearing when Will's in a good mood. It was so rare for so long. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Sherlock, Ken Laird, Teddy J, 3-time Super Bowl champion, and I can call him our good friend now. I think when you talk to us at least 5 times, that's when you cross over into good friend territory. Our good friend and Sox manager, Chad Tracy, is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Clean, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Chad, you swept the Yankees and you added another win last night. And all 5 wins at Fenway Park, which is a place that has apparently cursed you all season. How do you explain what's happened this past week?
Oh, man. I don't know. I think it's mostly, came home after, really it started on the road. We got let some games get away from us on the road that we felt like we should have had, but the offense started to show up. And I think the Yankees being in here, it kind of maybe made our guys feel like it's time to go now or never. And we had a heck of a week, heck of a series against them, and like you said, got a win yesterday. But we are at the moment, we're getting outstanding starting pitching. The bullpen's been pretty good here, and the offense has showed up, and we're taking consistent at bats.
Well, let's jump right into the crazy moment that happened last night. So Contreras hits a run bomb. The emotions of everything that are happening in his home country of Venezuela obviously made him very emotional. It overpowers him. He's poised to have a great night, and then at his next at bat, he struck out, close call, and was walking towards the dugout, tapped his helmet as if to say, check the ABS system, and then the softest ump in the game threw him out. I'll say it, you don't have to say it. Later on, the umpire was asked, I don't know if you heard this, if like tapping the helmet for a non-challenge is an automatic ejection, and he said yes, it was, but also noted that there is discretion with the call, which to me says that it is an automatic. First of all, did you know that rule, and what did you think of how everything went down?
I was somewhat aware of the rule in the sense that I think it was something told, with the introduction of challenge and things like that, that if that players use those signals in sarcasm or anything like that, that they could be subject to ejection. So I think most people knew that. I think the discretion part of it, for me, is wherein lies, maybe my issue with it is just nobody in the stadium really knew what happened, you know, even including myself. When he was removed from the game and somebody in the dugout told me, and I said, "Who?" I thought somebody had said something from the dugout, like a player that was on the bench. And so obviously went out there and figured out what was going on. I don't think Wilson knew he was thrown out of the game. But for me, the discretion part is that. It's like if something occurs two steps from the dugout where nobody sees it, nobody's paying attention to him, now they're already focused on the next hitter, that's where I would have liked to have seen the discretion part come in. But obviously that's Nick's call, Nick's decision to do that.
Chad, how do you see the personality of the team evolving, and is Wilson becoming sort of your emotional captain, your emotional leader?
He's not becoming our emotional captain. He is our emotional captain. Like, he is pretty much since the outset, you know, like the you guys know that. You've seen it. You've watched the games. Like, the emotion with which he plays and the intensity with which he plays, and when he gets a big hit and you see his reaction, he's fired up, buddy, and it fires the rest of the group up. So and you hear him hollering in the dugout, like he gets after it. He's a highly emotional player, and guys feed off of it. So I think there's no question he's the emotional leader of our team.
Chad, I'd say in the last seven games, there's been an uptick in offense and in hitting. So yeah. You guys are almost averaging more than close to a run more a game in the last seven games than you were prior. What do you contribute to that to, or any explanation for that?
Well, I think a combination of things. One, we're hitting some more balls out of the ballpark. That helps. We had three or four there in the last couple of games in Colorado. We've hit some balls out of the ballpark during the course of this week. And we've done a better job executing. We've had a lot of opportunities with men on third base, and we've got those jobs done. We did it two more times last night. I went a lot of attention on the first inning with the home runs, but the additional tack on runs were runners at third, sack fly situations, and we executed and got the job done and didn't strike out. So probably a combination of factors. When you start to get some home runs and extra base hits, that obviously helps. But executing the small ball parts of the game helps as well.
How about Caleb Durbin? The minute he saw our guy Lorenzo, the batting coach, all of a sudden he's popped seven big ones, I think. I think he's honestly had seven home runs since he saw the batting coach Lorenzo.
He's swinging the bat great. And has been, and it's like not like a blip, like, hey, this is a good 10 days. It's been over a month now. Kansas City, I think, I think was in Kansas City in the office. We had talked one of our initial conversations. He was struggling at that point and had a conversation with him. At that time, if you remember, Kiner Falefa was hot.
Yep.
And a conversation occurred with Durbin saying, hey, you may have to spend a little time on the bench here. Like, you know, you're struggling and this guy's hot. It's the responsibility of the team. We got to try things, right? And he spent maybe 7 out of 10 days or something of that nature on the bench. In the meantime, was working hard. I know there's a lot of attention on the outside hitting, but the diligent work he was putting in here too, like with our guys, spent a lot. He utilized the time like a pro, and just said, I got to get my stuff right. Worked very hard at it. Had a nice day at the end of Kansas City, or there's one there. We sat some more, and I think he saw it like, when I get my opportunity back here, I got to run with it. And he has been fantastic.
All right. So, Chad, there was a report that came out that I wanted to ask you about. Sean McAdam, who's a good reporter, he published a report about Marcelo Meyer that some in the organization, I'm going to quote him, some in the organization were, quote, would question his mental toughness and his tendency to withdraw during slumps, as well as his willingness to play through pain. And then the day after those comments were published, Marcelo went on the IL. What do you make of Sean McAdam's report and what's going on with Marcelo right now?
Well, I mean, the willingness to play through pain is tough to swallow when he just did it for about a month and a half, you know? So he's, you know, and until you finally figure out, hey, that's not a fracture, right? It's a stress reaction. But, yeah, it pretty much acknowledges he was playing through pain. I honestly think, guys, like, some of that stuff, it's an easy target at times because, you know, Marcelo went through a lot of stuff in the minor leagues. You guys know that as he came up, that there were some injuries and a lot of them were not preventable, you know, with a back issue and different things that popped up that were very real things. So it can become an easy target when things happen to bring up soft or to bring up won't play through this or won't play through that. And I think in a lot of cases, it's just been unlucky. It's as simple as that. He's had some serious things pop up that nobody can prevent. And I don't share that sentiment, but I really think it's a case of that.
Chad, if Wilson is the emotional leader, is Anthony Siegler trying to get involved? He seems like he's developing a personality.
Yeah.
He's pairing up with him nicely, isn't he? Yeah, there's a lot of emotion there, too. It's good. I saw some of that in Worcester when he first got there. Another guy plays the game high energy, very emphatic with his fist pumps and all that. He loves playing baseball. It's easy to see guys like that when you can see the emotion come out and you feel like these guys really enjoy playing baseball. But he is absolutely giving us a lift as well.
So, Chad, we had a caller call in yesterday, and he was fairly passionate about Jaren Duran and what Jaren – and by the way, he's not the only one. There's a lot of people calling about him. And, you know, obviously he's someone who has been playing better, but at the same time, he has a pretty big track record now of getting into altercations, verbal altercations with people in the stands, whether it be fans, you know, saying one thing or the next, and sometimes people don't even know what they said. You know, there was obviously just the other day – you know, there was the thing he did with Michael Holly on social media. I know that at Target Field versus the Twins back in April, he had one. And there's, of course, some other ones in his past. Have you spoken to him about that? Because that can't be I know the fans don't like seeing that, obviously. Have you spoken to him about his emotions and how that can possibly backfire on somebody, like when you continue? Because as I said, this isn't one or two. This is a pretty decent amount of times that he's been jawing to the fans.
Yeah, first of all, the one the other day, and Jaren made comments after, and people are saying, oh, he just won't say anything. You know, when he said nothing happened, that's fairly true, just to be honest with you. I don't know if anybody, you don't have video of it, but like there was a fan behind us that was pretty, I guess excessively taunting over the course of multiple innings, just taunting. And you could see by the look on his face that it was in with the intent of trying to invoke a reaction, which by the way, I have very limited, that's ridiculous. If you're going to come to a baseball game, come enjoy a baseball game, but to deliberately be as a grown person taunting players, trying to evoke a reaction, I find that to be nonsense as well.
But Chad, you got to be able to take that as a, I mean, if it's not personal, if it's like, because what we heard is that he was just yelling out his batting average or something. That's the report. I don't know if it's true. But don't you think that you kind of got to be able to take that if you're a professional athlete? It's not fun, I'm sure. But yelling back at the fan seems like an overreaction.
And that's the part where I'll cut in there, because it wasn't just Jaren, and actually, because there was a handful of us that had been listening to it, there was a handful of us at the simultaneous moments that looked at our security and said, can we please get this guy out of here? Because we don't have to sit. You can move him to somewhere else, but we don't have to sit there and listen to that. So I understand where you guys are coming from. I really do. I think it's easy to find these moments, and he has moments. Jaren's another one. We're talking a lot about Siegler and Wilson, right? And they play the game with a lot of emotion and intensity. Jaren plays the game with a lot of heart, emotion, and intensity. And obviously, he has at times has a penchant to snap a little bit. But in that case, like we had him down in the dugout, and a lot of the conversation going back and forth between the security and the fan was some of the coaches saying, can we please identify that person, get him away here? We don't need any of that right now at this part of the game. So, I've had Jaren, to get back to your original question, I've known Jaren since 2022. I've had him for as long as anybody in this organization. I've had been around him as long as anybody that's in here. And I know that the kind of emotion that he plays with, and I'm there to support him and make sure that if I'm able to kind of get him pulled down from something, that I can do that. But I also don't want to take away the emotion with which he plays the game.
Well, what was the fan saying that you thought justified getting
him
kicked out?
I don't want to get into that. I said that the other day to the media in here. I don't want to get into it. It was 3 days ago now. And my biggest thing was we got Jaren down in the dugout, and I think I got a lot of attention for Jaren. And I was like, there was a lot more conversating going on between Flo and myself and the security than there was Jaren with that fan.
I guess as the only reason I'm asking, and I don't mean to continue to press, but as a fan, you want to know where the line is, because if it's just – because one of the great things about going to a game is razzing people on the other team. And I know it was a game at Fenway, so it seems odd. But, you know, I've always thought, like, the guy who's, like, the good ball buster in the crowd is always kind of funny, as long as they don't cross that line. And I feel we know where the line is. can you just at least kind of paint a picture of, like, was he over the line? Was it something personal that he was saying?
I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to get into more details about it. I honestly, like, would like to move past it because I think it's getting a lot more attention than it needs to. And it's our job to – it's our job as staff, and Wilson was there. It's our job as staff to prevent things from getting out of hand, which is what we did. And it was, like, done, and we move on, and we go out there and win the game. So I don't want to keep getting into it.
All right. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was real quick. Chad, I'm just curious. You passed the halfway mark. You're 9 games under 500, 4 games out of the wild card. What is and it sounds like you guys are having fun and kind of the best run you've had all season. How are you talking to the players? I mean, how are you keeping them engaged and in it? What is your message to the players right now with this 5-game win streak, considering where you at and are in the standings?
I think that's an easy. Well, first of all, they're feeling it themselves. You can feel the difference when the club's winning, and you can feel it when you're executing offensively and you're executing on the mound. So you just keep identity. You go into a hitter's meeting, for example, we go through the start or whatever, and you get to the end of it and just talk to them about you guys are you're doing this, you're doing A, you're doing B, you're C, you're supporting each other, you're fired up, the energy is good. And you just keep identifying the things that are happening right now that were not happening, let's call it 10 days, 2 weeks ago, and beyond. And keep helping them identify those things and feel like, all right, this is what it feels like when we're doing things right, and that's what it felt like when we were doing things wrong. And let's do everything in our power not to go back to feeling how we were when we were doing things not so well.
It's good that you can like have an example of doing good things, right? Where you sustained it, where you can say there's a difference. If it's all bad, then you have nothing to kind of play it off of.
Right.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, we had a lot of bad, and that's fair. We did. We had a lot of bad. We weren't. And we had some moments of good, but even when we did, it was like, a couple games, and then you'd feel like it would go away, but and the same problems would resurface. So this stretch, and I said earlier, even dating back to the end of the road trip, maybe one of the longer stretches we have where we feel like, everybody across the board is contributing and doing their job right now. Just do your job. That's it, right? And we're getting a long stretch of that now, and hopefully we can continue it through the break.
It's interesting, too, because Rob Bradford said this on the show, and I completely agree with him because I heard it as well. People are actually talking about the Red Sox now. And I know that sounds kind of – I don't mean to dismiss what it was beforehand, but it's almost like people are getting excited again. And I know it's 5 games, but when you sweep the Yankees and you do it – as dramatic as it was on Sunday night, and my God, that was a roller coaster. It just gets people back into it, and hopefully you guys will be able to ride that, and I hope the locker room feels it, and that kind of can carry them throughout these next several series.
Oh, they definitely feel it, believe me. That the Yankee series was something else for everybody, and it was a really, really good moment for Derb and just the guys that haven't been here. They're in their first season. That probably, when you think about the way the year's gone, that most of the season has been feeling, disappointment and feeling the stadium booing or whatever. And to give them a glimpse of like, this is what it feels like when you start to reel them back in, and it's what makes Fenway special, makes the Boston fans special. Like even when they've endured 3 months of struggles and now this is happening, it's like, you can feel them. It's like, that's all it took. And they're like, let's go. If this is how we're going to play. So, and to the first part of what you said, like, but it's now our responsibility to continue that, so like, you're right. It's been 5 games and that's as long a stretch as we've had all year. It's our responsibility, to have to carry that because 5 games, like we have been talking about before for us, like we're in a position where it's like, this has to continue for an extended period of time. That doesn't mean you have to go 27-0. You got to win more than you lose, and you got to do it for an extended period of time. And the guys know that. But we have some traction now, so hopefully we can carry it over.
And the kids are finally eating free at the 99. You guys are winning some games. I love
it. Way to go, Coach.
All right, Chad. Great stuff, and congratulations on this streak. And as I said, let's keep it going. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're
going
to try. Thanks, Chad. Thanks for coming on.
That is Sox manager Chad Tracy, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. We will take your calls and also your comments because it is right down the middle. There's some people who liked what what Chad Tracy had to say about Jaren Duran, and some people who did not like it at all. I was just there to just try to get an answer. I don't.
You got to the question that I'm glad. It's like, was it personal? I think that's there's what's the line? No, the line is when it gets personal, and you said that word to him, and he still didn't want to say what it was. So, you know, and part of me, if you just say we felt it was deemed across the line or personal, then he might have been let off the hook a little bit, but didn't even want to go there. So
yeah, well, I mean, as I said, you know, there's a lot of good stuff to talk about with the team. It sucks that you have to talk about that, but it is a story. I mean,
well, because it'll come up again. We know it's going to happen.
It will. All right, 617-779-7937. What did you think about Chad Tracy and what he had to say? We'll take your calls next. It is 93.7 WEI.
Shut you right down.
Rich, certainly. I kicked
you right off the train.
I don't feel bad about that at all.
No.
I just had to ask, and he's got every right to say what he said, and I'm not even angry at him.
Said we were buddies. I'm not anymore. God, you just grilled him.
No,
this guy in Boston.
I wasn't trying to Tim Russert him or anything like that. It's just a question that I think a lot. You know, Jaren Duran, by the way, it's Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson, and we'll take your call. 617-779-7937. It looks like calls and comments are mixed on Chad Tracy's explanation of having the fan ejected from the game. So Jaren Duran, as we know, has a track record of getting into it with people in the stands. Remember last year when somebody yelled at him, get a tennis racket, or that he needed a tennis racket when he was up at the plate?
Yep.
And then Jaren Duran called the guy a homophobic slur, according to reports in the stands. And then there was
that feels like that was validated. Like there was enough eyewitnesses that was an accurate report.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
And so that doesn't do him any favors.
Yes.
When that's on your record. So.
You're right. And then there was this situation where, according to someone who called into Greg Hill, and I haven't heard anybody dispute it, is that there was a fan who was yelling out Jaren Duran's batting average. And so this has kind of become a thing where Jaren Duran will snap back. But in this case, it was kind of a big deal because, according to Chad Tracy, they had the fan moved from what were probably really good seats. If you're close enough to the players, I'm assuming those are good seats, and have them either like move to a completely different part of the stadium. And I was just asking him, like, what did that person say? And they said, well, I don't want to get into it. I said, just let me know if it was personal, because if it's personal, obviously that's the line. Because when you go to a game, busting balls on other teams is kind of part of it. You know, you go there and you know you suck and blah, blah, blah. And if you're just yelling someone's batting average, you know, that should be fair game, and in my opinion. But it does sound like several people on the Red Sox did not like what this person was saying. I don't know if it was personal or not, but that's what I asked. But let's go to Steve on line one. Steve, what's up, my man? How you doing?
Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys, I want to preface this by saying I'm a big fan of both Jaren Duran and Chad Tracy. I think what Chad is doing is great.
Yeah.
Sticking up for Jaren here, but that's some of the softest crap ever. Like, if you can't handle somebody telling you you're batting average and maybe stop striking out all the time. And, like, you played for the Pats, right?
Yep, I did.
So, Chad, my bad for playing your name a second.
Good.
But how many times did you have people chirping at you? Did you ever pull any stunts like this, getting people kicked out? Like, it comes with the territory. And they're avoiding the topic of asking if it crossed the line, because it didn't cross the line. And Chad Tracy's in a tough spot now because he can't talk on it.
Yeah.
Just to stand up for Jaren. But it's just, it's the softest crap ever. It's just terrible.
You know, one thing I wish, you know, if Jaren could kind of, you know, just not respond, is because I give him a lot of respect for him going public with his struggles.
Yeah.
And when you put that stuff out there, there's going to be people that are going to use it against you.
Unfortunately.
And unfortunately,
and
it's sad.
Suck,
you know,
yeah.
it's happened to me in this business a lot of times. That's cooled down, but that was, and I was kind of shocked by that. You share personal stuff and people use it against you. But when you react that way, it takes a little bit of the shine off of your courage. And people go, it's very courageous that you would speak out, that you would talk about your personal struggles. If you can't control yourself when those people come at you, then you're going to lose a little bit of that credit that people give you for your courage. Cause you got to really, really, Jaren's got to do, it's easier said than done, but people are doing this at his workplace in high pressure situations where he's got to perform in front of everybody.
I mean, we've seen this in other sports. We've seen Malice at the Palace. We've seen Milbury go into the crowd with a shoe and beat a guy.
Sure.
I mean, so this is not new. I mean,
but I guess it's because with him, it's happening a lot. And unfortunately, when you do snap, and especially when it's something like somebody saying you need a tennis racket because you can't hit, and then yell like a homophobic slur.
I mean, he apologized for that.
He did. And once again, he's been very open about his struggles, and as I said, I respect that. But every time you do that, it sends a message that you can get to me.
Sure.
And it just almost encourages more
that's
of it.
That's exactly right.
And it's – I just – it would be so good if he could just get through the game and then it doesn't become magnified and it doesn't become a story and then people eventually forget. And they don't bust his balls this way.
It's exactly right. You stop reacting, people eventually will stop heckling you because they, you know, if they're not going to get any reaction out of you, then they'll stop doing it.
Real quick, let's do Reed. I know we have to break, but let's go to Reed real quick. What's up, Reed?
Hello, Reed.
Hello.
Hey. Hello, Reed. How are you doing?
My name's Lee.
Okay, Lee. Okay, sorry Lee. About that. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you, Lee. What's up?
Okay. Look. Okay, I enjoyed the show. I got two comments. I had box seats for many years right near the dugout. I don't think a fan has a right to be abusive or obnoxious. I don't care what he says.
You know what? I think you have a right to be obnoxious. You do. I think you have a right to be obnoxious. But abusive, absolutely raising their hands. You can be obnoxious. Matter of fact, that's one of the great things about being a fan is going out there and cheering for the team you like and booing the team you don't.
No, because it ruins the experience for all the families.
Oh, God, Reed. Yes, come on, man. Stop with that.
What about bags on your head? Can you wear that?
There was nothing better than when my dad brought me to a game and I heard the dude next to me, "You suck!" You know, like, it was awesome. That was
what
fun.
What if it's like the whole game and he doesn't shut up?
Well, that's then you
I mean,
are
there's
being
those guys, too. You know?
Well, then it's just you got to say something to the dude. Sure, I get that. But it's not the player or the manager's job to say something to that guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's one of the great parts of sports is being able to cheer the team you like and boo the team you don't. Mm-hmm. And if it's personal, get them the F out of there. But if it's not personal, mm-hmm. man, that's part of the gig.
It's hard to disagree. I'm kind of with you. I go back and forth. So if it's personal, get their ass out. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Jaren's got to do a better job. You're absolutely right. The less he reacts to it, this will all kind of go away faster than he realizes.
And I don't blame Chad Tracy at all for answering the way that he did, because right now he's sticking up for his guy. And that's one thing you can say about Chad is that Chad has been a very, in that aspect, he's protected his guys very well this season. I mean, every time we ask about the injuries.
He should have got tossed yesterday. Yeah, that was his opportunity. You don't get a chance.
He wanted to the other day.
He should have lit that guy up at first.
I know.
Too nice, you know?
What can you do? All right, quick two-minute hydration break. We will be back. And Diana Rossini back in the news. There is a audio. Remember that story that she said about how she ended up having a state trooper pull her over and he said he would call a favorite coach? Well, maybe the audio is a little bit different from what she was been saying. We'll get to that. 2 minutes, we'll be back.